Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
The Boston mayoral primary is a little more than a month away, September 14th. WBUR and Radio Boston will join WCVB, the Boston Globe, and the McCormick Graduate School of Policy and Global Studies at UMass Boston to bring you a debate among the major candidates on Thursday, September 9th. Now, between now and then, we are inviting each of them to our virtual Studio 3 to make their case to you. And today we are joined by Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu. Councilor Wu, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana. Great to be with you.
So, Councilor, no matter who gets elected, it promises to be a first for the city of Boston. And I'm mindful that you were actually first into the race, too. Why should that first be you? Why are you the right person to run this city in this moment?
We are in such an incredibly consequential moment for Boston, and I am living the stakes of policymaking. I'm a mom with two young kids in the Boston Public Schools. I live in a multi-generational home and have raised my sisters in this city as my mom was struggling with serious mental illness. So I've seen the gaps that our families face, and I've had a decade now in City Hall knowing how to move the levers of government to close those gaps and truly deliver change. I have the longest track record of building coalitions and taking on what we were told would be impossible fights one after another, and showing that more is possible. We don't have to keep doing things the same old way in Boston because we have the resources, the activism, the energy. We really just need a vision for the future. And I'm excited to deliver that with strong leadership to meet this moment.
So you talked about living the stakes, and you've been clear all along that living those stakes were what put you in public office in the first place. It's why you ran, and you have had the better part of a decade to move the levers of government to meet your policy agenda. What's left to do in the agenda that drove you to run for office in the first place, and how does that figure into your platform in this race?
I'm someone who never thought I would end up in government, but as my mom was struggling and as I was finding my way, raising my sisters, working through our school system and finding ways to provide support and resources, opening a small family business and understanding all the barriers there and navigating our healthcare system, I've seen just how deep the gaps and how tall the barriers feel. And so for me, this is about taking action so we are not passing on these challenges one more generation and one more generation to our kids and grandkids. The pandemic has truly shown us just how fragile our status quo already was, how unjust so many of our systems already were. And now's the moment to move away from putting Band-Aids on longstanding crises and really tackle our issues head on, deliver the leadership that Boston is capable of.
So I want to talk about COVID, which has certainly, I mean, it's, I almost said it's been in the news the last 24 hours, but that's a little silly because it's been everything in our lives, right, since it started. But in the last 24 hours, there's been some controversy after Acting Mayor Kim Janey, who is also a candidate in the race, said she would not require proof of vaccination for indoor activities like gyms and restaurants, comparing them in the moment to birtherism and slavery. She has since clarified her statements, but maintains her position on not requiring that proof. A number of the other candidates have responded. Boston City Councilor Andrea Campbell, also a candidate, condemned those comments further today, characterizing them as, or saying, quote, there's already too much misinformation directed at our residents about this pandemic, particularly for Black and Brown residents in the city of Boston and in the Commonwealth, end quote. You responded by saying it's time to build trust in vaccines. So I want to ask you, is Acting Mayor Janey wrong that vaccine mandates could push the vaccine hesitant further away and could unduly affect those who are already marginalized and hurting from the pandemic?
We need to lead. This is a deadly pandemic, and it's indisputable that we're in a race against the clock with the new Delta variant driving up our cases more contagious than previous strains. City government is in a very unique position. We're close to the people. We are the face-to-face connection point to so many city services, and we have to use this moment and use every platform possible to push trust in the vaccines, to continue to close gaps in vaccinations and to take every possible step to save lives. Vaccine mandates for city workers, for example, or proof of vaccination to protect workers in other settings as more people will be shifting indoors as the weather grows colder. These are all proven strategies, public health recommendations in order to make sure that we are saving lives and doing everything we can to end this pandemic.
So would you enact any vaccine mandates? And if so, for what specifically?
Yes, in fact, the city council, under the leadership of our council president pro tempore, Councilor O'Malley, has already moved forward with vaccine mandates for workers and staff on the city council side. We are ahead of the administration on this one, and we need to see the rest of City Hall moving into those protections as well. I also support moving forward with what we have seen proposed in other cities, where there would be protections even outside city government for indoor settings, particularly as workers who are frontline workers would be exposed to these risks. Now, of course, we need to keep closing the gap for vaccinations across our communities, but now is the moment to really emphasize that we have control over how we are protecting our residents, how we're protecting workers, and how we're protecting Boston residents. We cannot see the same type of situations as we did a year ago, where workers were forced to choose between putting food on the table or being in unsafe situations. This is a matter of ensuring that we're taking every step to save lives.
So just one more thing on this, and then we'll move on. You know, there's a carrot and there's a stick. If one accepts that agrees that a mandate is more of a stick, does that drive anybody who's vaccine hesitant away? Are there carrots that either should be used instead or could be used alongside that stick to increase, as you say, trust in the vaccine?
Look, we should be taking every possible step. That includes continuing to meet people where they're at. As mayor, I would ensure that we are focusing as well on breaking down those barriers for vaccinations and using every bit of our infrastructure, whether it's trying to go door to door with some of the public health infrastructure that's available or creating more events in community and ensuring that people don't have to worry about timing or scheduling or any other barriers that might stand in the way. The other thing I really want to note about the proof of vaccination is that city government also needs to take the responsibility of administering this. We need to invest in and strengthen our public health infrastructure, because when we simply make a declaration and then leave it to restaurants and businesses to be on the front lines of enforcing it and encouraging compliance, that puts even more burden on our workers and businesses that have been in very difficult positions with the mask mandate and other situations. We need to not only require those protections, but also put the full power of city government into providing signage and information, supporting compliance and outreach, and ensuring that we are working hand in hand, bulking up our public health infrastructure, because unfortunately, this won't be the last time that we're having this conversation about how to respond and how to guarantee protections for the general public.
I'm going to pivot us here just because there are a number of other subjects I want to make sure we get to at least a little bit. Masks in schools this fall. Acting Mayor Kim Janey has said that they'll be required. Do you agree? Should the Boston Public Schools require masks, and should they do that for all age groups?
I agree. My two boys are 4 and 6, too young to receive the vaccine at this point, and we're very much looking forward to them being in person in school. It's been incredibly difficult for all of our school communities to try to manage remote learning, and our educators and school leaders have done so much to try to hold together a very fragile system. We have to ensure that we are protecting all of our school communities. And that means that where possible, for the age groups that are eligible, we are using the platform of schools to administer vaccines and go full steam, as we've seen in previous pandemics, using schools as a resource for that. And then for younger students, especially because there are younger students in these buildings, ensuring that we are still protecting everyone's safety with masks as well.
Okay, so when it comes to schools, you've laid out an education plan. It includes things like a board of Family Corps navigators for BPS families. You've called for universal pre-K and childcare for children under the age of 5. We have a cash grab school system. There's been so much conversation just over the last year about the physical sort of plant and equipment of our schools and what it's going to take just to get those where they need to be. These are significant new investments. Briefly, again, because there are a couple other things for us to get to, too. How to afford these new kinds of programs, especially given the cash-strapped nature of the schools as they are?
We're in a historic moment with federal funds available for our recovery. That's $400 million that the Boston Public Schools can really invest in updating our facilities and ensuring we're closing some of these gaps. We also have tremendous resources across the city if city government can put forward a proactive vision for all of our sectors to be aligned.
Can
the
it?
Bottom line
so,
is that,
so wait, I just heard that emphasis on the word if. So I want to ask, can it?
Look, if we put a BPS mom in charge of our city, we will have a vision for the Boston Public Schools and urgency to get it done. We can't afford not to make these changes because this is our future. Our young people and the economic moment that we are in is one of uncertainty. Boston has the potential to truly lead the way as cities are redefining what it means to have jobs of the future and to lean into the green economy and rethink how we build communities and knit our sectors together. Boston can really be ahead of the curve if we're coordinating across all sectors. And that starts with city government and the mayor of Boston leaning in, providing a vision of what's possible.
Okay, so a couple of other things. I do want to talk about rent control for a moment. We had a big conversation about the racial wealth gap, housing affordability earlier here on the show. You are the only candidate out there supporting rent control. And there are real concerns like disinvestment in properties by landlords, gentrification, suppression of development that previous rent control around the country have raised real concerns. What is different now? How are things different so that those impacts won't happen again if Boston were in a position to reinstate rent control?
We are in a full-blown housing crisis. We are seeing families across our city displaced, unable to afford to stay. It is the number one concern that I hear from residents all across our communities as I'm out and about knocking on doors and out at community events. With this urgency, with the evictions moratorium lapsing and families barely holding on, the real question is not why I'm the only one standing with the people in supporting protections, but why every other candidate is not. We're not talking about a return to old style rent control of large bureaucracies and frozen systems. This is about ensuring that city government has the power to have parameters and guardrails, that we will have one more tool that's necessary along with increasing housing supply, along with reforming our zoning code so we can speed up these processes and simplify the red tape for affordable housing, along with investing city dollars in building affordable housing directly. We need to ensure that as we're transitioning to more housing supply, in the years that that is happening, we're not losing our families in the process and we're able to stem displacement right now.
Okay, so lightning round, because the show is going to end on us in 50 seconds. The new free tea experiment that the city has put in place for the 28 bus, a good start, yes or no?
Absolutely. So excited that this idea I've been discussing for years is now almost on the horizon.
All right, that is Boston City Councilor Michelle Wu. I appreciate you taking the time today. Thanks for joining us on Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
And that is our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderick, Walter Wuthman, Amanda Beland, and Cynthia Betubiza. We had help from Ali Audette and Stephen Gelman. Marquise Neal is our technical director, our executive producer, Hitesh Hathi. I'm Tiziana Deering. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.